Joe Biden, during his campaign, has been often saying that America first strategy that Trump was employing have in fact made America alone, and sort of America lost a lot of friends and allies during those years. So do you agree with that?
The president-elect is completely correct. That is exactly the result of what I would consider to be a rather chauvinistic approach to a relationship between countries and international affairs in general. He is exactly on the right mark. It has led to America being distanced from its partners and allies and less effective in dealing with its adversaries.
Do you foresee a significant change now with the new administration coming in? There are certain signals from Biden coming that he plans on his first day in the office to rejoin Paris Climate Accords. Then he also plans to rejoin World Health Organization. He plans to rejoin even Iran nuclear deal, which is maybe the most controversial amongst these three things that he is planning to do. So is it showing sort of the return to a more foreseeable US policy?
Again, the answer would be yes, but let me elaborate on that. You have heard the president-elect speak of building back better in terms of approaching his policy overall in the United States. I would argue that in everything he has said and everything he intends to do, he's also planning to build back better abroad, build back better in our international relationships. And while I would not argue that everything will go back to the status quo ante, we're not going to go back to a world, a pre-Trumpian world, that where everything is sort of in a utopian wonderland, but rather it's going to be a very strongly analytical and professional approach to where does America find itself in the world on January tomorrow at noon in 2021. The approach is going to be 180 degree different, completely on the opposite scale of the Trump approach. It's going to be one of partnership, alliance focused, interactive with our partners, frank with our adversaries, clear in our approach, and professional in our diplomacy. That's what's going to be the hallmark of this coming administration.
Now, the other issue that, of course, has been very topical, and it seems that the Trump years have also given it, some certain advancements, if you wish, is the strategic independence of Europe. So Europe is now more and more talking about the fact that it cannot rely on the US so much. It cannot expect the US to always be there in terms of security, but also in many other ways. And therefore, you need to invest more in its security, which is not a bad thing in and of itself. But then the rhetoric around it is rather that it's not just that, but also kind of distancing from two sides. What's been the perspective from your career, from your experience in diplomacy, and just generally, what's the mood in DC? What's the attitude towards this whole concept of the more independent, more strategically independent Europe?
Let me say two things to this very good question that you're asking. Number one, categorically, the Europe and all of the partners in the Transatlantic Alliance in NATO can categorically depend on the absolute commitment of the United States to all the elements of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. You will not have to, in the Biden administration, have to guess or ponder or worry about the US commitment to every element, including Article 5 of the NATO treaty. That's a given. All that uncertainty and all that anxiety is going to go away tomorrow at noon. That said, we've been talking about European security capabilities for decades. This is not something new, and we've always talked about this cooperatively. The European Union has always, our allies and partners in Europe, not just in the European Union, have always talked about creating European capabilities, not in the sense of distancing from the United States, but rather than to bring additional value to the alliance relationship. And we, of course, have talked in the past very frankly with our friends about adequate burden sharing. And you know that term very well. We've talked about in a partnership, the partners should all do their bit to the best possible way to have an equal contribution to the common security. And in that context, we are very comfortable. We will be very comfortable in the future. Biden administration, I'm certain, very comfortable with the Europe talking about creating additional capabilities, additional arrangements amongst the European partners, but always, always, always to look together for an efficient and effective way of securing our common defense. So in that context, I see no contradiction going forward now that we are back to professional diplomacy. I see no contradiction between a strong transatlantic security bond and intra-European arrangements to enhance intra-European capacities. That's totally acceptable and normal.
Of course, for the Baltics, always the question of the relationship with Russia has been an important one. Under the Trump, it's been a very ambivalent. On one end, of course, there's been additional sanctions on the Nord Stream 2, for instance, which have been quite harsh and not always liked by some of the European countries. On the other end, Nancy Pelosi, of course, keeps on repeating that Trump has been a best gift for the President Putin because he's basically helping him to achieve his aims in dividing and spreading the misinformation and so on. Of course, she has her own political goals and political agenda, and that's clear where she is coming from. But still, the assessment is there. So I guess the question there is twofold. The relationships with Russia, where do you see that potentially going? More coordination with the EU on things like sanctions, like the way we used to have previously with Crimea in particular.
I have long been bothered, and that goes for both the United States and also for our European friends, for us to always talk about the relationship with Russia in the context of what are we going to do in response to Russian action? What are we going to do in response to what Putin has done lately? And a great nation like the United States and great nations like our European partners should have their own agenda and let Putin respond to what we are going to be doing and what we're doing, rather than us guessing how we're going to respond to what he's doing. In other words, we should have a strategic, a joint and a common strategic objective as to what we want Europe to look like, what we want the globe to look like, what we want democracy to achieve. That's what we should be doing together on both sides of the Atlantic. And let Mr. Putin guess as to how he's going to respond to those initiatives. So in the future, I think that's the way we should approach this together. Set an agenda for how Europe and America are going to go ahead and work together to shape the future for our respective democratic societies. And let others worry about how to react to that. That's what we should be engaging on. Now, and I'm quite certain that, well, again, I'm speaking just for myself. I'm quite certain that an approach like that from the Biden administration is going to find a lot of receptivity amongst our European friends. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree. I mean, on Nord Stream 2, we don't agree. But the point, the time at which one we should have acted on this issue was early on, intelligently and with respect for each other's positions. Not at the end where we go ahead and damage and hurt individual companies or individual workers in Europe or the United States. So that's not the way to do this. So again, when America alone ends, that kind of foolishness will also end.
The EU have issued their stance on how they want to increase the role of euro by, you know, having less and less using US dollars in the international trade, at least to a certain degree.
I was in Europe, stationed at our embassy in Germany, when the euro was introduced. And I was in Estonia, right next door to you, when the euro came to Estonia. Okay. And back when I was in Germany, when the euro was being introduced, there was all this tremendous discussion about the Americans are really afraid of the euro. The euro is going to supplant the dollar as a world currency, as the reserve currency for the whole world to trade with. And I remember at the time, a lot of our financial economists saying, not only are you wrong, but the opposite is the case. We please take this responsibility off of our currency. We would love to be not responsible for the ups and downs of the global financial markets. Let you Europeans carry some of that if you would like it so much. Go right ahead. So the point here is, you know, first of all, there is room for both the euro and the dollar. We welcome the partnership of you taking some of the load off of our currency. And to the extent a strong euro is more in our interest than it is in yours to some degree when it comes to trade, because the higher your currency rides, the more easy it is for you to buy our products. So what we really should be doing is saying, look, two strong, stable currencies underpinned by strong democratic societies is a great thing for the world to have, rather than the opposite. So bring it on, and we want nothing but the best for the euro.